ladies and gentlemen, it's the Hawk coming to you live. It's 1/27/2022. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This thing, the old wild weasel, starting to run, isn't it? Can you see the old wild weasel? He's out there on the tracks. And coming behind the old wild weasel with all the tracks, there's 13 tracks or 33 tracks or 666 tracks leading to all of the same function junction. And you got a clone, Casey Jones, behind the throttle in every one of them trains, and he's having to put on more coal, because, see, coal's cheaper because coal can be put in and fire up them old-time steam engines to make them go quick. And incidentally, them old steam engines back in the old days fired by coal and wood and what have you, they clocked some of them doing 120 miles per hour in the old days, all right, out west. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they're all heading to Function Junction, you know, and it's just incredible, just incredible. The thing I want to say is this, is that we've read Matthew 24, Luke 21, we've read passages out of Revelations, and I've been reading to you what I was instructed to give you and instructed to keep on giving, and I've done it over 17 years. Many of you are very well prepared, some just now starting or in the middle, but keep going. It looks as though to me, unless Red China Joe and the New World Order Luciferians decide to throw a monkey wrench into the current, what looks to be the current timetable, all right, it looks like Putin will go to Red China for the Olympics about the 3rd of, what, February, or 2nd or 3rd of February. So in terms of that, that would be the last opportunity to crisscross. However, I hear Red China Joe, and I hear, did anybody watch America's Baghdad Bob today? Former Admiral Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman. They don't even write up their admiral anymore. They write Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby. But Kirby is like Baghdad Bob. And for those young people who do not remember Baghdad Bob, it's when the United States was on the outskirts of Baghdad and getting ready to come in, and we were bombing the heck out of it. In the background, old Baghdad Bob would stand up in front of a pretty restaurant or one of Saddam's palaces or a nice hotel or something with the press out in front, and he would say, oh, things are wonderful here. Saddam is getting ready to fight, and things are, we're overturning this, and he has the secret weapons, and things are just wonderful here in Baghdad. And then over his shoulder, there would be this huge explosion, a fireball from U.S. Ordnance, you know, from a missile or a bomb or something, a smart bomb. And he would say, oh, pay no attention to that. That's probably just a gas main letting off steam or an oil well, one of Saddam's oil wells or something. He was a lying piece of crap. So you got a lying piece of Baghdad Bob of America crap up there at the Pentagon. All right? I will say this. I was very encouraged to hear the governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, basically declare that Joe Biden doesn't care about millions and millions of people dying of fentanyl in the United States. Okay? Coming across the southern border. And he had a whole press conference with about 5 or 6 attorneys general from different states, Oklahoma, Louisiana, I don't know, I didn't know all the different ones, West Virginia, there was a number of them there, Texas, of course. And they were talking about all the stuff and all the fentanyl and the trafficking of children and sex trafficking and all of the different things. And all of the people that, like, were released on the videotapes, the ones showing in Westchester, New York, you know, a jet offloading all these illegal aliens? And the cops are there, and the cops are saying, what's going on here? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think the cops should have arrested the people, put them under the rings there, and said, hey, look. But the problem is, these guys are all carrying the Department of Human Sacrifice Mayorkas cards, you know? And I'm going to tell you what. Hats off to the Border Patrol guy who turned his back on Mayorkas and was yelling back across his shoulder about how Mayorkas is really basically a piece of crap, all right, and was breaking the law. Well, coming out of Abbott's conference, basically the nutshell is that the President of the United States is breaking the laws of the United States with regards to the illegal immigration, not enforcing the laws, not upholding his constitutional rights. And the governor of the state of Texas basically said that. I also note that Greg Abbott not long ago informed in a speech and by writing, he informed the National Guard in Texas, which is still essentially under the control, not the State Guard, but the National Guard. He informed them that the governor of the state of Texas is their boss, not the President of the United States. And so the National Guard is out, along with some of the State Guard, patrolling the border and trying to put a stop to all the crap. But that's just one item of many. That's one of the 666 Casey Jones throttled all the way down, and he's the engineer of the trains drinking moonshine, 150 proof moonshine, and doing methamphetamine at the same time. But the hammer down, headed to Punxsutawney Junction, and the wild weasel is just jumping all over the trains and the tracks and going everywhere. Now, people say, well, Hawk, we kind of know all of that. Well, I was just looking at the Drudge Report, and I guess Biden, let's see what she says here. Biden warns Ukraine, prepare for impact. That's a quote. Prepare for impact. That's a quote. Invasion virtually certain. Well, I mean, his 8,500 people on standby, and there's more than that, because not only does he have parts of the 82nd Airborne, he's got the 18th Airborne, a corps? I think that's part of, that's the real ready Freddy's. 24, 48 hours, they're there, jump on the airport, pop goes the weasel, or wherever they want to go, and take it and hold it till relieved, all right? That's also something that airborne rangers do as well. And it's also something that is quite prominent. But I'm going to say this. You've got not only that, but you got 18th Corps in the 82nd out of Bragg. You got parts of the 101st out of Fort Campbell. You got transportation and stuff out of, and maybe a few, maybe, one or two spacecraft, perhaps out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. You got Fort Lewis McChord and all of that. Well, out of there, you're going to get some real good, keen snipers, aren't you? All right? Really good ones and some other folk. You got part of the 4th ID in Fort Carson. Well, they're the ones that trained with the Russian Spetsnaz. So if you let them go and you can take them and go to the Ukraine, well, then the Russian Spetsnaz that are still in Colorado, oh, comrade, we will just take over, you know, Cheyenne Mountain and the underground base under the Denver airport, and we'll take over, level 3 communications up there by Boulder and all of that. Ho, ho, ho. Then maybe we'll just go down through the tunnels down to across the New Mexico border into Dulce, and ho, ho, ho. You see, here's the thing. Everybody's focused on the Ukraine. I've been telling you, and correctly so, since prior to Thanksgiving, with information from deep background sources, dig in people, etc., who are the best of the best. Cold War warrior, the old river pirate, a few others, okay? And what they've been telling me, and we've been working on it together, looking at different matchups all over the place, and what we brought out to you was that there was a whole lot of Russians coming down that St. Lawrence Seaway, probably in ships of different types that look innocuous, but they could offload small submarines. We also talked about spreading out all through the Great Lakes, all the Russian Spetsnaz and the GRU. You see, there was GRU that came over here in the 60s and 70s and 80s that were stay-behinds or illegals, they used to call them. U.S. government used to call them GRU illegals. In other words, they were spies that were here illegally and under assumed names, etc. Well, now, since then, you've had, you remember the TV show The Americans? The Americans? You had the second generation there, didn't you? The girl becomes, with her mother, becomes a second generation GRU agent. Okay? Well, now, by now, that was the 80s, by now we've got the third generation. And a good friend of mine said, Hawk, why don't the government just hire all the rednecks and the mountain jacks and all the wild boys to go after all these bad guys? Well, I said to him, I said, hey, man, you got the third generation GRU are the rednecks, okay? Maybe they live in, I don't know, up 321 in North Carolina. Yep, you know. Maybe they live up there, mountain jack types. Or maybe they on the Tennessee side in Sevier County or Cock County. Or maybe they live up by Johnson City or somewhere up in there. I don't know. Or maybe old Kane Tuck, you know, or something like that. Or maybe old West Virginia critters, you know. But the fact of the matter is that some of these guys, a whole lot of Russians down by Gatlinburg, I told you about that. So we talked about these Russians in the camps, the fish camps, the hunting camps, that speak perfect English, all right? And yes, some of them could be from Virginia and the Blue Ridge, or some could be from West Virginia, or some could be from Tennessee or Carolina or Nebraska or Kansas or wherever. And their English is great, you know. It'll be whatever they need it to be. Because they can speak Nebraska English or Southern English or, you know, New York or whatever. In New England, it'll be appropriate because many of them may have lived there for a long time. So that's the reason why. But anyway, they're still looking for Russians, infiltrators, saboteurs, Spetsnaz, GRU, whatever they are, they're still looking for them in the TVA regions, Tennessee, North Carolina, you know, Northern Alabama, Georgia, etc., or the Tennessee Valley Authority dams, because those were always to be targets. And they're always to be targets to take out power grid and to flood areas and to do different things to cause all kind of trouble, you see. Particularly in areas where they feel there might be strong resistance from the old Scotch-Irish mountain people and stuff, you see? From the hillbillies, the mountain jacks, whatever it is you want to call them. The swampers, whatever they might be, you know? Brotherhood of the Kudzu in Alabama, you know? I mean, it's whatever you're going to call them. But the fact of the matter is that you've got all of this stuff going on in the United States. Then we had, what was it, last week or whatever, the Jim Creek. That's a highly secret base. It's where they have 1 million watts that takes out and communicates with all the ships at sea on the West Coast and out in the Pacific, and also to the submarines. Now, the problem with all of that is, and then what my information was, I know what's been put out, and that's been put out accurately. They've been looking for a sub off the coast and all of that in Washington State. Well, those subs are always off the coast, but the problem is what they're really looking for is who penetrated the son of a buck and who did something to it, and it went offline, perhaps, allegedly went offline for a little while, and that could be done by the Russians or the Red Chinese. But let's just say it's the Russians currently in vogue, because that was a Russian sub off the coast. And that signal was down for a while. And we know it's not been at the million watt level on any of that. That's the really, if you need it, you got it level. And that can overwhelm a jamming and a lot of different stuff because it's so powerful. But here's the real problem. That went out for a while, then it came back up. But it came back up at a lower level than even normally what the lower level from the 1 million watts is. So that decreased the reach. There's another one of those somewhere in the great state of the Maine Maniac Land, all right? And that's for the East Coast and all of that, and the North Sea and the North Atlantic and the South Atlantic, and on into the Med, you understand? Now, here's the problem. In the old days, the boat driver, the captain of the boat, and the XO are the ones that had the two keys, okay? They had the two keys. They'd open the safe. They could get a radio contact, or they could detect a launch somewhere of the nuclear weapons and then not be able to get any radio contact anywhere in the world. They then had the option of getting ready to launch on their targets. They would turn the keys, open it up, they'd get the launch codes, and kaboom, they could push the buttons. They both had to push them at the same time and launch nuclear weapons out of U.S. submarines. That was the third part of the triad, wasn't it? You had the B-52s, the bombers, you had the ICBMs, and you had the nuclear submarine fleet that could launch anywhere. There also was, for a time, on the moon, and probably still is again, but on the moon, we were setting up, back in the 70s, the late 70s there, the Battle of the Harvest Moon. I've told you about it. Look at that, Battle of the Harvest Moon, I think it was 77, right? 76, 77. And the Harvest Moon was this big old moon that year. And the United States was installing its particle beam weapons on the moon on a moon base, and the Russians had the cosmospheres, which were manned, and they had particle beam weapons on them, and they went up and took out our moon base before we could get set up. Then we had the aspect of the late 70s into the early 80s, right? Which also was characterized by high inflation and a lot of trouble. And then Ronnie Reagan had to go into the clandestine program of the Star Wars and all of that. And the rods from God, the graphite rods, all the different things, and to put money into our spacecraft and into Solar Warden, into different things, the MMB stuff and all of that. So what I'm trying to say is this. This thing is getting close to the bone, you know. Getting close to the bone now, but there may be a little bit of time yet to prepare. Unless the New World Order crowd pushes Joe, Red China Joe, don't you know, on into the fray and makes a mistake or just decides to, as he did allegedly, Red China Joe allegedly did a week or two ago, when or three or whatever, when allegedly he set B-52s on a drill, but were loaded with, or bare, so to speak, And he sent them within a, just not that far away from the thing over there, Russia. And caused a lot of problems. Alright? Since then, there's been a lot of tit for tat. Now, let me hone in and give a warning specifically to Texas. But let's just preface it by saying that 2-3 days ago or 4 days ago, whatever, when the Russians were running train after train into Belarus, I mean, pile driving those fast trains, they had their, they had Vlad driving the Sebastopol Flyer or whatever it was called back then, you know, whatever. The red train, you know, boom, like out of Dr. Zhivago. And they had that thing roaring down the tracks with all kind of military goods, men, implements, bombs, weapons, rockets, Iskander-type missiles. Oh, yes, Iskander is very nasty. But all of those going into Belarus, well, somebody allegedly hacked into the Belarus railway computers to try to slow down or conflict or corrupt or stop the trains coming in from Russia. Well, that's all fine and good, except down in Texas, you know, South Texas, down there somewhere, there's an old crossroads. They call it the crossroads, where there's trains come back and forth going south to north. They come down from the oil fields and the Gulf and the refineries and everything, and they come north and east. They go north and west, and they go east, west, south, north. It's a whole nexus or junction. Now, that area also has oil field storage. It also has fertilizer storage, anhydrous ammonia. It has refinery kind of things in the general area, not necessarily right there. But it's a transportation crossroad where a whole lot of the refined goods and oil and all that, and there's pipelines go through up and through those regions too. So that would be a logical spot that the Russians or the Red Chinese, and we've talked over the years how the Red Chinese have nailed a lot of chemical plants and refineries and stuff, and also recycling centers. And then, lo and behold, you know, the following 5 days later, a chemical plant blows up in Red China, right? That's the special ops tit for tat, right? And none of that's on Brett Baer or let alone any of the other fools, right? But it's real and it's true. So we've done all of that. We've been following that for 17 years on this broadcast. All the train derails, all of that, the train derails, with the oil. Remember out in, the BMO or whatever out there, Baltimore line out in there? You remember when there was a river, I believe it was in Virginia, and they all dumped into the ditch? Do you remember the chemical plant in West Virginia where just mysteriously, the whole chemical plant been there for years, then all started leaking like crazy into the river there and destroying the drinking water, all of those things. The fertilizer plant in Texas in the little town that blew up, all the grain trains, all the trains that wrecked or, you know, jackknifed or, you know what I'm saying, derailed next to the chemical plants in Missouri or wherever, you know, Louisiana, all over the place. All the stuff coming in from Canada and Montana, there's been a jillion of them. We've told you about all of them. And it's a cluster, and clusters are not coincidence. Somebody does them. So let's just say down there in the old crossroads, here's the deal. A couple days ago, all the power went out. The power went out in that whole area, all right? In that city down there. The city named after the queen, you know, the old queen, the tough old queen, and of England, tough old queen of England, not the tough old queen. Don't get me wrong. So the power grid goes out, and the power goes out just like about 10, 12 years ago when their AT&T, all of their 911 system went out without explanation. So there's a history there somewhere. And no, we don't know what happened to it. Oh, it's just a glitch. And then, you know, 2-3 days later, it came on. All right? Went back to work. But the police, the sheriffs, the fire, the EMTs, all that stuff, they were without the 911 system. Well, that's an interesting thing because it's at a crossroads, you see. It's a target, you see. Transportation, communication, target specifically related to the oil and gas, natural gas and the propane and the fertilizers, the ammonia and all of the refinery business, right? So then you got the power goes out in the crossroads in Victoria or whatever there, or whatever that name is, right? And the power company don't have a real good explanation for it at the time. And then also, which is kind of really strange, a big generator. I heard it was one of them, what's them things from Peoria, Illinois, them Caterpillars and Morton and Bartonville and, you know, and East Peoria and all them different places, you know. One of them big old Caterpillar diesels. Generators on a big system that powered the powered the county jail, a big county jail, and I think probably courthouse, etc. Not really sure exactly what's connected, but sheriff's office, whatever it is, but the county jail. And the lights went out. It didn't come on when the power grid went off. Can you imagine a big county jail and there's no lights on in there except maybe a few emergency lights at the exits? Can you imagine the howling of the wild Hoopa Choopas and the prisoners? And all the screaming and hollering and banging on the bars and the whole nine yards? Or the possibility that the systems wouldn't work and the gates would open or something weird or strange, all right, and let people out? Well, apparently there was no real explanation for that, why it didn't work. And apparently, allegedly was installed, allegedly, by good people, allegedly, this past September 2021. In other words, just a few months ago, in the fall. And it should work beautifully, because it's a big, nice system. Well, when they come out, allegedly, I guess repair crews may have come out or something somewhere. And when they took it offline, allegedly, the generator fires up just fine, okay, and works great. And then after a couple hours, the lights all pop back on in the crossroads. That's a tit for tat. That somebody, Russians, using the Wi-Fi or the hacking or something, or in place, saboteurs in the power company. They also have those kind of things too, you know. And they could be anybody from an actual Russian, Spetsnaz or GRU, that just happens to speak Texas English, all right, you know. Or somehow they could speak Yankee English or Western Plains English. But they also could have a Hispanic or Mexican cartel guy that's got a clean record for hire, that's been hired by the Ruski, or the Red Chinese has been implanted in there. They could also have people that work for the top slot Luciferians of the United States. That's another potential thing, because the energy companies, the New World Order, Luciferian working for type energy companies who are connected to the global intelligence systems and world and the big pentagram. Remember last year how they did Texas? Remember last year how they did Texas? They turned off all the stuff and everybody like to froze out in the midst of the big thing. And then they had the power bills for a month that were $10,000 for the month. If you hadn't done the math and earlier on switched to another deal, right? And people went hungry. People died last year. So here you got a pop goes the weasel in the crossroads, which I still think is a Russian tit for tat, all right? But then that is not over in Ukraine, is it? That's here, baby. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put it out to Texas. Guys, you got to go down to the, get you, you know, more gasoline for your inverters, your generators. You've got to get basic, like Harbor Freight style basic and all of that. Solar panel deal that has the connections, the battery, the small charge controller, all the cords, all the stuff, and the standard to put the, like, three panels up that gives you 100 watts. You can also get a hexagon connector that you can put five of those systems on it. And the systems are about $199. I think they are $199.95 at the Harbor Freight. The solar systems, the portable ones that you can, they come in a box. You just screw them together, set them all up, and they've got the two 12-volt light bulbs in there, and they got a little charge controller. And if you want, you could buy you a little bigger charge controller, and if you could put two or three or five in. But when you go up and look online at the videos, there's one simple one. There's all kind of these videos out there. Some say it's good, others say they're bad, etc. But I've watched a lot of that stuff in the last 2-3 years. And some of those Harbor Freight things are installed. They're running garages. They've got multiple systems where they run them through a little bit bigger charge controller. And then they've got RV or marine type batteries. Well, the simplest little video is of a guy, and he's got a real nice, he's dry camping in the woods somewhere in a national park or state park in the, you know, like a mountain of steel, kind of either looks like out west or maybe Tennessee or something like that. And he's there. He's got one array of the three panels. It's 100 watts. Got the cord that goes back, and he's got two RV batteries on the back of his RV trailer, and he's got them wired in a, you know, a sequence, or you know what I mean, where they're all wired together, and he's charging two batteries at one time. And he says that even without tons of sun, just with an average sunny day, they were not running out of power, and they were living in the trailer at night and using the TV and the lights and running, fans or air conditioner or the whatever. And they never ran out of power. That's a good, nice thing. And then incidentally, you want to, if you have battery banks, you got to, there's $1,000 batteries and all that stuff, the boiler, the gel, and this and that. And you can spend $50,000 on a system in a heartbeat, all right? But get you a little something that will charge one thing that you could run for a few hours a day, your refrigerator, freezer, you know? For a few hours a day, you could have some lights on and have a computer, or maybe you could play a movie or something. A DVD player and a TV or a radio, where you have other systems there, like other inverter, in other words, not a gasoline powered inverter, which are excellent as well because they're power you up good. And if you had the money, get a couple of those too, you know, run them in tandem, so to speak, and really power up. But you could get a couple 2,000 watts or a couple 3,500 watts or bigger ones yet. But be that as it may, this thing will get you going and will at least allow you to have a small light or two. And then you can cook outside on the fire pit or on a small barbecue grill, you know, or in the, just get you some stones and make you a fire pit, you know, make you a campfire. And then I'm going to tell you something. You can eat. You got a little light. You got a little entertainment. You got a radio. You can hear it. But get you also one of the regular inverters so that you can plug in and charge the battery in it. But there's also like the 3-in-1 jump kit starter kits where you can inflate your tires or jump your car or truck. You know, or it's got a plug-in where you can plug a radio in or whatever, all right? 3-in-1 or 4-in-1 jump starter things because they got batteries in them. So then if you also get a small battery charger that works, either solar a little bit, you got some with solar, but they'll take a long time to pump up a C or a D or a AA or AAA. You can get the ones where you can get the rechargeable flashlight and other batteries, which you should be getting a hold of some of those. You can recharge those by plugging them into the either the inverter, the 4-in-1 deal, or directly into the charge controller, which also has outputs. Or the battery banks, then you can run off of them and they can be recharging this or that or the other. And then you've got batteries for flashlights and small radios and for night vision and all kind of little things. You see what I'm saying? Then you've got ability to charge lithium ion batteries. That then you've got chainsaws. See, I have battery chainsaws, weed whackers, blowers, you know what I'm saying? Drills, all kind of hand tools, saws, what have you. And if you've got multiple batteries of those, then you can have yourself a little facility with a little bit of sun, and maybe you got a little gasoline and stuff put back. Not, you know, I mean, you can't have tons of it because it will go bad. I mean, I've had it and I've put all the right stuff in it. And believe me, it ain't good after a while. But you might be able to mix a little bit of that if you knew how to make the moonshine. Just like old Tim Smith did on the TV show. Just look it up as an aside. You can also go to Howard Bloom. Alcohol can be a gas too. Alcohol can be a gas too. Like T-O-O. Okay? And he tells you how to make the stuff, blend it with a little gasoline to make it legal, and that it is legal then to utilize in your farm trucks or your, you know, your equipment, you know, et cetera. But if the push comes to shove, who the heck cares? You see what I'm saying? Because the same people in the DHS and the hoorah, hoorah, EIEIOs and the fiddle with boys internally in all these different agencies who are trying to grind you and come for you, they're the ones that are breaking the law with respect to the border. They're the ones that ought to arrest the politicians whose sons take $1.45 billion from Red China and then again another $30-35 million Peter Schweitzer's talking about of late. Or the $5 million from the oligarch of Moscow, or the mayor of Moscow, or the millions annually out of the Ukraine, and other people as well, you see. I mean, I'm talking about the hunter, hunt for the money. Or the Red China Joe who stole the show, don't you know? Well, anybody there should be arresting and investigating that. That's a lot bigger than some mother and father who went to the school board meeting . So if the Russians decide, if there's a provocation, or if they just decide to do it and they think it's time to go, they put in 250 Sukhois, you know, into Belarus and around that area up in there. United States puts 7 to 10 F-15Es. into Estonia and, maybe some F-16s, lower down in another country, you know, and, these fools on TV say, well, why don't we have our military, our ships in the Black Sea? Well, the guy who said that today on Fox was a congressman who had been a Marine, okay, who is a Marine, all right? Forget his name. He said, we should have our naval vessels in the Black Sea right now. Well, congressman, we had the state-of-the-art Arleigh-Burke-class destroyer, missile destroyer, Arleigh-Burke-class, the USS Donald Cook was in there back a few years ago. And one Sukhoi or MiG flew over it, utilized the specially electromagnetic device, and turned off all the power of the USS Donald Cook, except for probably the little emergency lights over the exits. And maybe the sign for the head. So these people in D.C., and the hairspray crowd on TV, they don't know diddly squat. Now, back to Texas. You guys need to understand, I think they're going to do it to you again. And in Texas, Louisiana, and in all places where you got the refinery capacity and that kind of stuff, which would also be New Jersey, right off the coast of New York, right? California's got some stuff. But all of those places, and you want to know the craziness of this whole thing? While Joe Biden warned Ukraine, prepare for impact. Well, is he going to send a asteroid down, or is he telling them, prepare that Putin's going to smack them with a nuclear weapon or a bomb and just take them all out at once and then take over the country? Or is it going to be lots of little bombs? Invasion certainly certain. Well, they have opened up in the Ukraine, and they're good people. They're not going to go down without a fight, all right? Just like those Canadian truckers who are driving to Ottawa. And isn't it interesting where Trudeau just happened to get the stuff, but he's a little sick right now. He's going to stay inside of his bunker in the Capitol building there, you know, and not come out and talk to anybody. But be that as it may, that's a whole nother thing. But if they're opening up the bunkers in the Ukraine to prepare for a nuclear war, and if Putin thinks he's going to get 8,500 and maybe 20 fighter jets is going to stave off, then he is not necessarily aware, apparently, or maybe he is, but allegedly is in collusion, allegedly. One never knows if one's son takes $1.45 billion from the Red Chinese and gets millions from the Russians and millions from the Ukrainians. One never knows, you see. And allegedly, there's potentially a problem there, is there not? But does the DOJ or the FBI or any of those people do anything with it? Is the ATF looking for Hunter's gun that he threw in the trash can or coming after him when somebody found it? You know? Is anybody looking at his? They're looking at his computer about as well as they did at Hillary's, all right? This is the New World Order Luciferian bullcrap, all right? This is the New World Order. Ordo ab chao. Create the chaos. And then they want to do what? Population planet Earth, no more than 500 million. So now we got monkey trucks going. Now, why are monkey trucks interesting? I'm just going to rapid fire as best I can here because I'll tell you, there's so many things tied to this, it tells me that the whole thing stinks. And you better be prepared. In Texas, go out. You guys have been flush the last year, you learned and all that stuff, but go out and get more food, Water purification, if you don't have it, get you a Berkey filter. And extra filtration. Get you more ammo and firearms. You usually do pretty good with that. But the other thing is, you don't do basements, but you can build a block shelter or something out back. Pile up some dirt over the top of it, you know. And have a storm shelter, a storm system, you know. Oh, you can dig in some areas. You can dig down and put a full-blown shelter in. And I suggest if you have the money, and some do, to go ahead and do it. But I'm going to tell you what. You can go online. You can read Cresson Kearney. Cresson Kearney, CresssonKearney, Cresson Kearney, who wrote the book, you know, about surviving nuclear war, and he tells you how to do shelters, what to do. He even tells you, if you're inclined, you can make your own radiation detector. If not, I suggest you call Steve Quayle, 406-586-4840, and tell him you'd like to order one of those good radiation detectors that he's got at the store. Tell him Old Hawk sent you, all right? If you want to get you a little gold or silver, I would do it now, too. But Steve would always tell you, if you've got your other preps done, then buy the gold and silver. If not, get you some night vision. Get you a radiation detector. Get more ammo, more firearms. Get food, food, food. Now, an astute gentleman in, let's see, I think he's, I guess he's still in the mountains in North Carolina, Virginia, or Tennessee. That was really good, wasn't it? But he was telling me, he says, you know, you're right about the chunky soups, and it's good to get them now while you can. If you can't afford the long-term storage food, and there's shortages of it, too. But if you get a can of chunky soup, and that's what, about a pound or whatever? If you had two of them a day as a ration, let's say, but you can maybe take it on one, but let's say you had two, that's about 2 pounds. You got 365 days a year, right? Well, then you got, what, 730 pounds of food. You got to have a place to store that. You got to have a place to have it hidey-holed out at different spots. And if you do not have an expedient area to go, let's say that your home or your basement or whatever becomes compromised, or you can't stay, you got to run. You got to bug out, but you can't bug out and go 200 miles to the state park or the national park, where you might have the cabin or something. Or if you've got a boat on the river, maybe you can slip by at night, you know, slip down somewhere else. Take the, you know, the kayak or the canoe or the little John boat, ferry you some supplies and on the down low, you know. Well, the fact is that you better try to find you around your area. Every door that ain't locked when no one's around. You remember the old Roger Miller song? Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. But find you something somewhere. A lot of people don't know it, but under bridges, like big bridges and old-time bridges, they used to have the concrete abutments or the stone abutments down below them. There's usually a door in a room there. Sometimes out on the prairie, you know, where the high lines go over, every so many miles, they might have a concrete blockhouse out there that's in the middle of a field, and there's no roads to it even, really. You might be able to find shelter there. You also might be able to find you a cave or something like that. In the Kansas City area, there's different old limestone facilities underneath the ground, the storage facilities. There's a lot of different ones at different places that can still be gotten into that aren't necessarily used anymore. Or they're used infrequently. So there's things like that, or you can rent a space and go into it. Go into the space with your RV. Park your RV in there. But I'm telling you, if they're opening up the bomb shelters in Kiev and different places in the Ukraine, then you might want to look at Chris Kearney's book, or you might go online and find the FEMA expedient shelter for nuclear war, expedient shelter in a basement kind of plans. Like you can take plywood, you can lean it up against the wall in a lean-to scenario. You can then put at either end of that, stack up your boxes of food or your big water barrels or concrete blocks or whatever it is you got there. Pile up furniture, old desks or what have you. And just create distance, mass, you know, to block any kind of radioactive effect. But if you have your water and your food and that kind of thing, you could do that. You could also take sheets of plywood and on the bottom or on the sides in the bottom, but just screw it or nail it in. Let's just take the bottom. You lay the sheet of plywood up against the wall, you're going to get underneath the lean-to. You make sure you got it affixed or attached up on a beam or something where it's not going to come down, all right? You then put flat concrete blocks or bricks that you got from somewhere, and you've got the ledge at the bottom of the thing that maybe it's a 2x10 or a 2x6, but let's say a 2x10, and you can stack blocks up the line all the way up the plywood to give you additional protection. But barrels of water will give you protection, all right? Extra food, any kind of stuff that you got, pile it up. But look into that. And Holly Dale has Dare to Prepare, No Such Thing as Doomsday by the Hoags, H-O-A-G. Incredible book. It's got real detailed stuff about half-lights and protection factors in No Such Thing as Doomsday. Holly also has it. And other books have it. But start to think about it and think about Tyvek F suits, full-blown gas masks with military-grade NBC, nuclear biological chemical filters, with the booties, the hoodies, the whole nine yards. And for instance, also, you can get like an M95 gas mask. It has inserts that you can literally have somebody put in the inserts for the goggles. They can put a small lens that is your prescription lens in an insert that you then put inside the mask. So that when you look out the goggles, if you're half blind and can't see without your glasses, you've got your glasses inside and protected inside the lens. A lot of people don't know that. I know on the M-95 gas mask that you can go to approvedgasmask.com. It should still be up there. Also, some of the other higher quality military grade gas masks, some of them have those inserts where you can get your prescription glasses put into them. Because you can't take your mask off to get your cheater glasses or your long fire glasses. You might as well get them inside. And you also need one where you got the voice box and where you can talk and somebody can hear you. And then you also need the ones that you can connect your Camelback water supply or specialized canteens that have the little fitting that go right onto your gas mask and drink right through the fitting. Now, those are the kind of things to think about. And then it's going to get cold in a lot of places, I think, still. We've had this big snow coming from the Northeast. You just had all kind of crazy stuff out on the Colorado-Kansas border, 27, 28 inches of snow out there in a very narrow band area. You might think that there might be an underground train depot out there, a railway or something. I don't know. Underground base. So here's the deal. Don't go into the Luciferian night without a fight. And if we are going to go to this war, it's not going to be the World War II. Not going to be tank brigades against Saddam Hussein. It's going to be whoosh, 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 whoosh. and it's going to be over if the United States gets involved. In other words, Biden's got to let Putin do whatever he wants, and whatever he wants is to take Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. He's got Belarus, and he also would like to get Poland back too, right? So if he does that, he might just take out the U.S., might take out Britain, leave France and Germany as customers for his natural gas. But you need to prepare while you can. I hope that you'd like to keep hawking the game. And if you do, I appreciate it. Anything's most needed and welcome. Be Federal Reserve notes, which are easy. A little bit of silver, a little bit of gold, or a check. Send it to Hawk. 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, H-A-W-K, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And may the Lord Jesus return it to you 10,000-fold. And may Lord Jesus protect you against all evil. May he provide you with medical miracles. To my brother up there, Brother Brian up in Minnesota, may he provide you with medical miracles. To B of B&E, may he do the same to you. To all of the good people in Iowa, in Nebraska. The old Mr. Z up there in Nebraska. God bless you once again. And to my buddy down in Beatrice. God bless you. May he provide you medical miracles. And ladies and gentlemen, Brother Steve Quayle has got a heck of a movie out there. You know, the drought, movie about the drought. And that is his best movie ever done, he said. Get you one of those as soon as you can. Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand, ma'am, get your home and your bill of rights. Mighty men and women of valor, your high technology, perfected. Take out from Spain the enemies of the Lord Jesus, the enemies of the truth. Man, Nigger Rangers, I know you're ready. Oh, Mickey Lump. Picky babies. Guy on the optic. Piece of trigger. Road and track and little L. To all those around in your lobby and your head. May Lord Jesus protect against all evil. May you be as prepared as you possibly can. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. May Jesus protect you. Get ready. Why don't you get something tonight?